July 23, 2021, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, happy Friday. Started off the show with Village Blues. That's from that's take three from the Blue World Records. John Coltrane, they found up in that attic in Canada. Yeah, very lucky. Wolf Eyes, but look at it. It's take three. See, even John Coltrane sometimes couldn't get on the first take, so that should give everybody confidence. It's funny, that interview where that Dutch guy asked him, you know, tenor saxophone players, which one influenced you the most? He goes, all of them. Like, the dude's just starting, right?
Then
he settles on Sonny Rollins and Dexter Gordon. But just the way he said that is so beautiful. And then we had Wolf Eyes with Texas Rehearsal 2016. And I don't know if you could tell people, but maybe you can suspect I'm not man alone because of the wonder of those Skype engineers from Estonia with that invention of theirs. I got Nate and Johnny from Wolf Eyes with me. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Hello. What up? What up?
Okay, I'll tell you what's up. I'm very curious about you guys' journey through music. But at first, I want to get the individual thing before you guys probably even met each other. Who wants to go first?
What do you want to know specifically?
Why? Because that's going to determine who goes first?
I tell you what, you're looking at a long story either way.
Well, you're going to probably have to breathe to about like 10 minutes each, but... Jay comes before N, so let's do Johnny. Johnny, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
My mom was an accordionist, and she was Miss North Dakota in the 50s. So she was still real pretty and real vain, and she would play accordion all the time. So it was either accordion or the soundtrack to Hair, you know, that had like the tits and ass song.
Hey, that bass man.
Yeah.
Joe Osborne, the same guy who played bass for Secret Agent Man. These boots are made for walking. Always used to pick, I think, a Lafayette, Louisiana guy. And incredible cat. And that is some funky James Jamerson bass he puts on that. So in the pad you grew up there, what part of North Dakota?
North Dakota, I was born there, but my dad is ex-Brigadier General in the Marines, so we had to move around a lot.
Okay. Well, the SAC had a bunch of missile silos up. Well, it's probably still do. But I'm wondering about the pad you grew up in. There was musical instruments. There was the accordion in the house, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. Like, my mom was always performing nonstop, so there was always that.
Well, what I'm curious about, did you jump on that fucking accordion?
I mean, you know, I love Pauline Oliveris, but it ain't my go-to weirdo key thing, you know what I'm saying?
Even as a little boy and you're full of fucking wonder still?
You didn't rock that accordion, bro?
No, man. I don't know.
You're telling me you never got on that?
I tried to, but...
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Intent is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah.
So now let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money, Johnny.
What's that?
First record you bought with your own money.
Iron Maiden's Peace of Mind.
First gig you saw.
Chicago and a comedian at MSU.
You mean CTA, Chicago Transit Authority?
Yeah, yeah.
Where the guitar man accidentally blew his brains out. Don't play with loaded guns, people. They're a good band. And just think about the guys who played horn in high school until Scott came around. Fuck.
Yeah.
Right? Either that or the theme song from Hawaii 5-0. God, Hal Blaine. Hal Blaine in that fucking fill, right? You got to hit every fucking tom, right? Okay, so let me ask you about school, Johnny. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
Nope, zero.
Okay, that's all right. I just wonder because some schools didn't even have those fucking things, right?
Yeah.
And what about the thing, not after school, like graduating, but in the afternoon, the basement band, the garage band, the bedroom band? Did you do that?
Yeah, oh my God. As I had a moped that I painted flames on one side and an American flag on the other.
Of course.
And I could cart my stripped down drum set on my moped, so
okay,
I would have my
okay. That's good that you mentioned drums because listening to Wolf Eyes, it's hard to know who's on what. So that ain't a bad thing. That's a righteous thing in Watt's book actually. But how did you get on them fucking drums?
All right. So there was a guy named Steve who was the second wave drummer for the Crucifix.
Steve Shelley, first one.
No, not the second one. After Steve Shelley dipped. The Wisconsin record, the eyelinery one. Yes. He was the drummer on that. Okay. And he had it in for my sister. So he was like, oh, I'll give your skater brother drum lessons. So
you're part of a little fucking
and
boost.
I learned
a little
to play
boost.
Wipeout.
Okay,
first.
Okay.
Yeah, I learned to play Wipeout, and my mother and sister would dance to that. So that was cool.
You know, Wipeout was big when I went to school. People do it on with their knuckles on the fucking the bench, right? Where we chowed, right? I can't do it because I'm fucking lame. That's my mom bass. But he gives you a kit. Now, did you get into lessons?
Yeah. There was the Carmen Appice book that came with a flexi of just the beats. So
there was also something called drum drops, right? Where they give you records without any drums so you could play a lot, I think, Ventures or something.
Yeah, and the Capice book was incredible. I mean, incredible drummer, top to bottom.
Oh, yeah, Vanilla Fudge, right?
Yeah.
He had a younger brother, too, later on, but...
Yeah.
Vinny. And they pronounce their last names different. And both are wrong if you live in Italy. Shows could go you. So learning out of the book... A teacher showing, or are you learning out of the book?
No, this dude who's trying to spit game with my sister.
Oh, same dude who gave you the kit also was a teacher, man.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, and how would you describe the experience? Positive, negative?
No, it was great. Okay. It was great.
No, because I have people on the show where the teachers almost made them quit music, you know?
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I loved it, 100%.
Okay, so now back to the moped with the flames and the flag. And getting to the prac pad. Because usually the prac pad is the drummer's pad, so we don't have to set, but you had to schlep. Okay. Did this band, was it practice band, or did you do gigs?
No, we did gigs all the time. We had, the majority of our friends worked as waiters or managers in the hip restaurants.
Yeah.
So if we put the word out, we could play house shows almost Wednesday to Saturday. And get like probably 200 people at each one.
Fuck, that's draw.
Underground rock band. So we were
draw. And what was the name of this band, Johnny?
I was in a band called Universal Indians. I was in a band called Plants. I was in Kill Devil Hill with Tom.
Do you have the same kind of guys? Or
what's that?
Are the same the bands with different names but the same guys?
No, it was different guys, different crews all around.
Yeah. Well, I want to know who could fucking do 5-6 days a week at 200 draw for house shows.
Yeah, it was fun.
Which one was that? Yeah, but which one of those groups?
Kill Devil Hill would do them a lot.
Okay.
And
what about the material? Were you writing your own, or were you...
No one wanted to hear covers.
Yeah, believe me, I come from that in the 70s. Fuck that shit. Like building models. Kind of looks like the real thing, but it ain't.
Good point.
Okay. And so do you remember your first gig ever in front of people?
Oh, my God, yeah. I was in a band with a bunch of high school band people, and they would always have weird outsider bands playing now and then, just because, people playing the trumpet in the marching band, like that whole crew is really weird. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
It's up there with drama class, right?
It's just weird. I mean, it's just a weird set, So my first gig was a band called Flowers and Thorns, and I was playing bass. And
really,
it was a gig. Yep.
Now how'd you get on the fucking bass?
I tried to learn and. One of the bands.
You were getting tired of drums, or wanted to fill a gap. People had a void. They needed a bass.
Yeah, I mean, I was just doing both. Okay. It was the first gig was on bass. It was killer. I was so excited. I woke my mom up to tell her about the gig. You know?
Well, you know, kick drum is the closest note. It looks like a guitar, but it's really a kind of weird kick drum, tom-tom. That's righteous, dear. So the gig was a success. You even told your ma about it.
Oh, yeah. Woke her up.
That's bitching. Yep. Look, I want to play Short Hands, number one.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. Shorthands number one. People are going to hear Shorthands two. It was at the end of that, but actually not Wolf Eyes, but Wolf Eyes family. But we're going to get to that later because we ain't even got to Wolf Eyes. We just did the Johnny part. Lagoon Monster Rubber Mask Part A2. This is Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore. They got a new release here. A cassette. I love these cats. Deerhoof after that. Brand new. Department of Corrections. William Parker. Incredible bass man with Ava Mendoza on the guitar and Gerald Cleaver on the drums. That's brand new. Tabasco. Wharton Tears from Fun City. Drummer man ran a studio. Got to record with him. That's where I got to record with Bob Quine. And leaving out on Steve Shelley, a freeze out, Vision of Johanna. Bomb is printing after that with Island Ho. Just got another trove of their archive, D.C. area. Maybe recorded 5,000-6,000 songs, did 5 gigs, 40 years. They're still going. How I Quit Crack, Sarcophagus Mobile, Chris Cohen's, brother Chris Cohen's, great cat. And he sent me some new stuff. And finally, Shorthands number two. The Wolf Eyes family. Nate, it's your turn, brother.
Yes, sir.
Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Well, you know, I grew up just skateboarding, really. And my brother was primarily a painter. He was sort of a child prodigy, painting family portraits when he was real young. So I was looked up to the art scene. And he was a punker, you know what I mean? Turned me on to the Pistols and Ramones and Stooges. My earliest I can think of was hopping on a bus going to Tucson, and before I left, I went to the record store and I bought a Trout Mask replica and popped it in my cassette player and started heading to Tucson to go get my GED, right? And I'm listening to Trout Mask, and my brother had said, that's probably the weirdest thing you're gonna ever hear. And I gotta say, I listened to that tape for about 3 days, but just about 2.5 days to get to Tucson on the bus. And that's the only tape I had. So I listened to that tape so much on the way there that it flipped over backwards, and I kept fucking listening to that thing. You know, got there and, I don't know, tried to get a job. Worked,
well, hey, 2-3 days from where?
From Ann Arbor, Michigan, but I lived in
close
to the city of Ann Arbor, most people probably know.
College town, right? Stooges.
Yeah, I grew up with the Ashtons, man. Like, fucking Scott was like, sort of like my uncle or something, you know? Friend of the family. And his,
love Scotty.
His stepkids, Simon and Aaron, they were like my best friends, you know?
Yeah.
That's Ann Arbor.
Sarasota, but they're the Florida cats, right?
Aaron and Simon? Yeah. Oh, no, they're Chelsea cats, man. We went to, like, Beach Middle School right up until high school, and then we kind of, like...
Oh, no, okay, because I come later in the game, right?
Yeah, you come like, you know, we met you, I think, at ATP, but not the one with the Stooges, but we were there. We opened that whole Stooges night, cause it was like MC5 and shit, but Wolf Eyes was.
It was the first one in my head.
We saw you, we met you first at ATP when you did the duo with Hurley.
That's right. That's right. You were telling us, Van.
Georgie.
Like tour horror stories.
Van stories.
Yeah, Van stories. Yeah. Like,
I mean, the stepsons of Scotty, I know them from later on when the, cause I-75 is a trippy freeway, people. It goes from fucking Detroit to fucking Florida. Cause most go east west, but there's a little diagonaler. There's not many in there, and that's one of them.
Oh, dude, 75 on rush hour.
Who knows? But I want to get back to Nate. Like, he's telling me his earliest music thing is something in high school. I mean, isn't there shit in grade school? Like, were you in the choir, the marching band?
You know, I played stand-up bass.
Don't skip that, man. We got to know about that.
Well, you know,
how that happened?
So that's just, you get pushed into those things when you, you know, you get into school, right? I got sort of... I was the tall guy, so like, you can play this instrument. I played the shit out of that thing. I was first chair for...
Did you do Arco?
We did the Pink Panther, and I was first chair for the fucking Pink Panther. But after that, I was dropped.
Okay. But I'm curious, did you do Arco? I'm trying to do that now on electric bass using a volume knob. But the fucking Jimmy Garrison, Paul Chambers, excellent with the bow and shit, you know?
No, I never... Yeah, but yeah, of course, when
Here's the other question when I ask Arco, right? German or French? Overhand, underhand. Okay, so you tried hard and you did well, but then you got scissored.
But I got more into punk and skateboarding, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, did that experience of them cutting you have something, a bearing on your, I don't know, your perception of organized academic music?
Yeah, it made me realize it was just a kit, and it wasn't so hard to figure out the kit, you know? It's just a fucking formula, and I was like, all right, all right.
And what you maybe, I'm going to take a guess here, Nate, but maybe Trump out Mass Replica said, no, music can be different. It don't have to be a kid. It can be a fucking mystery to be explored.
Well, it can be a discovery.
Discovery, yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So that record was profound on you.
I mean, Sonic Youth, too. I mean, you know, that was all kind of... But I think it went Beefheart, Birthday Party, Caroliner, Pussy Galore, and then, like, Sonic Youth.
Okay, can I ask you, why did you pick Tucson when you were living in Ann Arbor?
Because you couldn't get a GED when you were 15 in Michigan.
Ah, good point.
My brother was living out in Tucson at the time. So
good point.
Yeah.
Because that's another college town.
Yeah.
No, but actually it's the really old Arizona town. Phoenix was a made-up town only like 80 years ago or something. Tucson is the real... I like playing everywhere, you know, so I learned a little bit about stuff.
Tucson's great.
Everywhere's great.
Yeah, true that. There you go. No favorites.
Okay. Yeah, because you start getting bigoted and prejudiced, right? And if I'm going to get bigoted about anything, it's just going to be about bass. But that's tempered with the politics of bass, which to me is you look good making the other cats look good.
Yeah, it's a system, okay. You know.
So tell me.
Bass racket.
You gave up fucking bass. You said you got into skateboarding. I know there's a big punk connect with that because it's like you don't start your own style. You don't need a lot of equipment. In Arizona, do you get into music besides just being a fan of other bands? When do you start making your own music, Nate?
I mean, I was right then, too, but I was looking at it like, I don't know. It was weird. I can backpedal a little here. So I think like a couple weeks before I left for, a year maybe, I started playing guitar just socially, sort of. Like, you know, there'd be these parties where we all like smoke weed and hang out, and, you know.
I think Ann Arbor had a $5 Mota ticket.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, you know. We're like 15, 16, whatever, 14, hanging, making a racket, you know? I mean, it was a social thing. It was just sort of what we were doing. And it went right along with, you know, we had a group of kids, you know? We were all into painting, skating, and, I don't know, digging in the trash. Like, we loved pulling shit out of the trash, skating on it, and then going home and banging away on it and recording it on our shitty tape players, you know? That was kind of our thing. I mean, honestly, that's what got me kicked out of high school in a weird way, you know what I mean?
And you dug these guys, but you had to leave because you had to get the GED. So do you make a group of new friends in Tucson?
No, not a soul. I just hung out there and worked.
You took a walk down Lonely Street?
Yeah, soul searching, young soul searcher, listening to music, you know. I'm still fucking around, making weird noises on my guitar, recording them on my tape player, and I put the tape over the erase head so I could make weird layers.
Oh, so you're using a tape recorder like an instrument.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that was like I said, all that kind of went hand in hand. Like skateboarding was make your own rules, make everything yourself. You know,
parallel fucking universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What was the street? 4th Street, right? That's a big street in Tucson. And it's also Bobby Dylan, but that's I think.
Yeah, your world's on there. Yeah, I used to.
Positively 4th Street. It's about that crazy lady in New Orleans, though. So, but that, there's lots of parallel universes.
Yeah.
Do you make a band in Tucson? Even a one man band?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had like a one man band in my head. I would just sort of. Like think about what it would be like, you know, and then kind of map it out in my head while I'm listening to like, you know, like I said, Caroliner and like fucking, you know, Pussy Galore being like, yeah, it'd be something like this, you know, and I had my brother had an
Pussy
electric.
Pussy Galore, no bass guitar, right?
Yeah, right.
More room in the boat, but that poor fucking lonely kick drum.
The horror. Like Marlon Brando said, right, the horror, Look, we're at the end of the first hour, July 23, 2021. Special guest Nate and Johnny from Wolf Eyes. Hold tight for Act 2. July 23, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Hill. Thank you.
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Wolf Eyes doing Desert of Glue. That wasn't an accident, people, but kind of was. Okay, the variant, brand new. Crowds are gone. Time's not needed. Whoa. Lucas Abel out of Sydney with mace-smeared Q-tip. That's an image. There was some motherfuckers. These ladies chained themselves to a nuclear facility, you know, as a protest, and they went and put fucking, you know, cayenne, whatever, ghost chili shit in their eyes, you know? And they, it's like, well, have a trial. Just start burning the fuck out of ladies' eyeball. Victor Timofeev with Memoriarium. Fuck, I don't know. Sorry for butchering that up, Mr. Victor, out of Ukraine. And finally, Staircase, a little pun rock here. Right? Staircase, yeah. I'm a staircase. Wolf Eyes family. Okay, so, Nate, you're going to have to go on because you left us suspended right in the air there with dreaming of a one-man band. But what was the reality on the dealio?
Well, I mean, the rest is history, really. I got back to, I hung out in Tucson for a while, doing nothing but listening to music, whatever. I'm dreaming. Go back to Ann Arbor, and I pick up sort of where I left off with my crew. You know, these crazy artist skater buddies. And that was kind of where it all started, you know. Nautical Almanac, I know you had Twig on the show.
Great guest.
He was one of my oldest friends. He's one of that.
He's Baltimore now. I think he's Baltimore now.
Yeah, he's Baltimore now, but we were going to high school. Actually, we both got kicked out of high school right around the same time, pretty much for the same shit, you know, just, you know, being more interested in being artists and being little, making up our own rules.
Let the freak flag fly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. But you said in a way, you said picked up where we left off, so actually it's not where it began, it's like, was a continuation, right?
It's a continuation, yeah. The story is okay. Kind of like a, you know, came back to Ann Arbor.
But the name Wolf Eyes hadn't been realized yet, right?
Hadn't been found in the garbage yet. And that's where this all ties together. So this crew and I, like I said, we'd drag shit out of the trash, skate it, go home, make an instrument out of it. That was what we did for fucking fun, right?
Right.
And then eventually, you know, that progressed to like finding shitty keyboards in the garbage and figuring out how to modify them so they made crazy sounds. And that progressed into finally, the Wolf Eyes Paul Winter cassette, right?
Yeah.
That was, you know, and I did the old trick with the Paul Winter tape, put a little little Scotch tape over the erase head and started layering that with whatever I had around me, radios and tape players.
Paul Winter, you're telling me he had an album called, well, you had the cassette version, called Wolf Eyes?
Yeah. Yeah, Paul Winter's Wolf Eyes. That was great.
I know nothing about it. You have to hit me to it.
Yeah. And then there was also Robert Redford narrates Wolf Eyes, which was...
Oh, Wolf Eyes. What was it? A movie or something? Was it a movie?
No, these were just... Well, the Paul Winter one. Paul Winter one's like just a straight up release.
Yeah.
The Robert...
got a picture of a wolf on it.
It's got a picture of a wolf on it. The Robert...
What is it? Like an opera or a concept piece or...
Not really, it's just sort of...
Proto-New Age.
Yeah, like Proto-New Age is a good way, yeah. And that was sort of where I was like, I was kind of making a pun in a way, because I was like, this tape is very New Age, and I find, you know, whatever our electronics and our layering was totally psychedelic, and I was like, yeah, it's kind of funny, call this Wolf Eyes.
Oh, ironic.
Let
me ask you something, Nate.
Go ahead.
What's the opposite of irony?
What is the fucking... I mean, reality? I don't know. What is the opposite
of normie?
Normie? I don't know.
Norm car?
It's a good question.
What about, what, let me put this out there. Wrinkly.
Wrinkly? What? Ironing? Yeah, I gotcha. The old cheese ball.
I want to play Time Designers.
Everyone come play a song.
Watch the Pedro show. Start that chunk off with Wolf Eyes Family. Time Desire. So we know a little bit about Wolf Eyes. We'll get into what Wolf Eyes Family means a little bit, people. Manuel Armida after that with Manuel. Sorry, brother. Anyone could sing out of Yellow Knife Cannon. If Bawana, Al Margolis, Radio Slaves. If I Could Only Care, Sam Locke Ward featuring Brian Cox out of Iowa City. And then Wolf Eyes Family with UI Disease Gold. So maybe a little more pun rock. Okay. I want to know about the first Wolf Eyes gig.
Oh, that would have been opening for Quintron in Chicago.
Oh, wow. You're talking about the Organ Man, Miss Pussycat.
Yeah, Organ Man.
Yeah.
Old Mr. Inventor.
Drum buddy.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Inventor. I saw him when he was in Mass. You ever check out Mass?
No, but I heard about it. I always saw him with Miss Pussycat. In fact, we shared a stage in Denver, Ogden Theater. Right. That's the first time I saw him. Then he ended up in New Orleans, and he was doing gigs at his pad, right?
Yeah, Panacea, she is something else. She is a real, real solid sweetheart there.
Right. Okay, so how'd that gig go?
Pretty good. So it was at this weird, I guess, like kind of wine bar place or something. What the
fuck
was it?
Burgundy?
No. Oh, well, right. Actually, the very, very first Wolf Eyes gig. That would have been opening for Zeke Sheck. Okay. I don't think it was Burgundy, though. What the fuck was that?
Well, was that gig a success? Now Johnny wasn't with you yet, right? You had...
No, that was a solo thing. I told you, like, you know, that was like... What Wolf Eye, or what this one-man band idea, or whatever it was.
And it was Wolf Eye.
No, it was still Wolf Eyes.
Okay.
Got two eyes.
So far
off. You go a little for a Polyphemus, little Cyclops thing there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, when did Johnny get in the band?
Well, I got to say, that would have been, like, 99? 98, 99, like late 98, 99.
So yeah. How far along is that?
Well, Dillaway, see, yeah. I was solo for about maybe 2-3 years. No, 2 years, I think. And then Dillaway joined, which I know Dillaway was on the show as well. So, yeah, shouts out to Dillo. He joined, like, as a studio guitar player, and he was only on the studio records, but we started doing live gigs, you know what I mean? And, yeah, he joined in 98, and then John came in 99.
Okay.
And I tell you, the first gig John played with us, where we decided he was in the band, he shows up with a pile of sheet metal. Basically, it's aluminum siding, like, off his own house or some shit.
Yeah.
And starts tossing it around and making a racket and slicing up our legs. Mm. Yeah, it was incredible. You know, I open my eyes, there's blood everywhere.
Johnny, are you familiar with a musician named Zev?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I saw gigs of him at Hong Kong Cafe in the late 70s, and he'd almost be killed by his shit because it'd be swinging, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was a success, right? This guy's in the band, and he's going to kill us with his shit, right?
Yeah, I mean, we realized he was either going to kill us or kill himself, and we had a lot of respect for that. We were like, damn, he's committed. You know?
Right. It wasn't just all talk. It was walking the walk.
Yeah, he was crazy. Insane.
Really. We were all playing together in different units and stuff. It was like a family thing back then.
Even back then, I mean, that's where the fam thing... It's hard. It's why we look at the whole timeline as a splatter. Because there's no other way to look at it. It's just a continuous flow of us jamming together with our friends in different groups.
See, that's what I was trying to ask you about high school, but it wasn't like the high school ones. This was more like a community, right? Yeah.
In high school, it was like that. It was, but we didn't. No, it was pretty much the same thing in high school.
Because I asked you, was it the same guys with different names for the bands?
Yeah, I mean, we were just a bunch of art freaks, you know, skateboarder art freaks hanging out. I mean,
well,
we didn't.
I got to tell you, Nate, I'm still working on the mind reading, but until then, please use words.
That's all right.
After a while, I won't have to fucking do anything but just pull the fucking thoughts right out of your mind.
Yeah, go for it.
Can't yet. I'm still working.
You know, it's kind of confusing. I was going to say, I go back to the splatter. Because it really is. It's always
sort
of been.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's what community is all about. That's what community is about. And it's a bitching thing. Especially when people aren't fucking trying to be clones. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. July 23, 2021 edition. Wap Peters, your special guest, Nate Giant from Wolf Eyes. Hold on tight for hour three. July 23, 2021. It's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro show. Watch for Pedro show start off the third hour with Chattering Lead from Wolf Eyes. And Vuce after that with Evacuo. Wolf Eyes. Rich Train.
Catching the Rich Train.
What's that?
Full title. Catching the Rich Train. But
I didn't have that. What was
yeah, Johnny messed up.
Yeah.
I got the Breathe version. But I'm used to that shit. I say Watt, Pedro, you know, fuck it. Life's too short. So, you know, you kind of answered the question I had before, the Wolf Eyes family. So, actually, you're talking about this community of cats in Ann Arbor that actually helped develop the sound of the band by everybody being in each other's band?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair to say, definitely.
Now, one thing Aaron was telling me about was you brought him in as guitar, but he mentioned that stuff, but he said he got into 8-track tapes.
Well, yeah, I mean, the majority of what we were doing was electronic music, you know what I mean? And adding a guitar to it was sort of an afterthought. Like, I'd heard Big Stick, you know what I mean? I was like, I want a little bit of that action, you know?
drag racing.
Totally. But before that, it was all electronic, you know, and, you know, electronic tape music, same thing, like, you know, tape music is electronic, you know.
What do you consider field stuff?
Field recording? I mean, I don't know. I think there's like an environmental research genre over in Canada that deals like so much with like recreating, like synthesizing, you know, sort of that sort of idea. I don't know. What is that, Johnny?
Because, you know, when I ask really the fundamental thing I'm trying to focus on is, does it matter if something has the right label?
No.
Good.
Thank
God. This whole thing about genre and shit. And, well, you know, one of the Cabaret Voltaire guys, his last name was Watson. He quit the band early just to do field recordings. But in a way, I think he still continued Cabaret Voltaire in a trippy way.
Damn straight. Well put.
Yeah.
Well put. Good observation.
Okay.
Love it.
I'm just wondering, because you guys are practitioners, you know, I'm still trying to learn rock and roll and student of Jack Bruce and that kind of stuff, but I'm really into it. Well, as a young man, I used to listen to Carl Stone's show on KPFK here in Imaginary Landscape, and he would play trippy-ass stuff, and I had no idea how it was, like, I had no way to look, see that man behind the curtain. So all I knew was sound. Sometimes it sounded like some dude scratching on a balloon, like...
Well, here's a question for you. What do you? I've been meaning to ask you this. Do you remember a cat? He's on a couple of the New Alliance comps named Jimmy Smack.
Pedro guy.
Yeah.
He used to dress up in a kilt, play bagpipes, have makeup on and stuff like skull face, he'd whip off the kilt and he'd be in a G-string and he'd have a crucifix and a rubber snake. He got us kicked off the Fisherman Fiesta. We only got one song out because he did that shit. He was a dance teacher. He'd bone all the ma's of the students.
Wow.
Maybe that's not awesome. All of them. Maybe.
Wow, that's the most I've ever heard about him. I mean, his jams are incredible. They're so intense.
That's trippy that you know about Feeble. Okay, that's great. That's great. That was, you know, us trying to get in on, we were learning about that cassette thing a little bit, you know, you put out your own label.
I want
to play a Confession of the Informer.
Ground is cold as clay. Lifeless worms cloud my day. Through retreats made of silvery gray, remind us that people shrink every day. And although that mindless mass may still remain, that's mindless to be blamed. and vibes. So when you hear my name. Staring outside. Well, the place is never gonna change. Well, I spend too much time outside. Well, I've never seen the same. Just like a hammer. Oh, pull those nails just like you told. Just let it lie. only bricks.
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Wolf Eyes with Confession of the Informer. Then Jesse Cuddler with Recorded Elsewhere June 2019, Assembled at Home June 2020. From Building a Better Reality comp, Brent Goodsack put out, Milwaukee Cat, great comp. Finally, Duo 2/18, Wolf Eyes. And is that the most recent stuff?
I wouldn't think so. We record, we record every rehearsal, and yeah, we just did a box set release yesterday that would, that's even almost a year old.
Yeah. The Tangle Ratio.
Does the 2/18 mean February 2018?
Yeah, I mean, we record so much, it's kind of ridiculous.
What about during the last 17 months?
Yeah.
It's been more, actually.
Yeah. More, because we started working remotely and exchanging tracks. All the shorthands material that you played, that's done remotely with our friend in Canada, too, Alex Moscas, Montreal.
So trading files, right? One guy.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
And how do you choose who starts?
It's been usually it's been me. Or Moscow's. It really, it's either a guitar or a bass line, one or the other, you know, or a rhythm, you know, those three things. Whoever has one of those first starts.
A hook.
Yeah, some sort of composition, something.
Okay, bass, guitar, these kind of regular things. What's the trippiest instruments you've used in Wolf Eyes?
I mean, there's silly things like, you know, rubber bands and, you know what I mean? But we got modular synths, we got homemade, you know, radio fucking squealers.
Homemade tape players.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was trying to figure out, like, because, you know, there's only, like, so many different effects, right? Like, there's flange, there's delay, there's distortion, there's fuzz, there's overdrive.
High pass, low pass.
Treble, and a filter.
I had a cat, he said he played sandpaper on his face.
Well, you Luca Sabella, you know.
That's for the psychologist.
Luca Sabella is incredible. I mean, you know, not sandpaper, but you know, Mr. Glassman. Yeah, I don't know.
It's like the Ramones for self.
We used to tell people that Johnny was playing a sewer pipe that he found in the corner down the street while we were at the gig, and people would believe it. You know what I mean? So. I don't know. It's all perception, you know?
That's what I was saying when I was young, listening to Carl Stone's show. I didn't know what was making those sounds, but it was different.
Yeah.
In some ways, it was different than Little Richard, but in some ways, it wasn't.
That's how I felt when I was listening to Caroliner when I was, like, 15, 16. Like, I had no idea how those sounds were being made. And fucking A, I mean, any... Tangerine Dream, even that, you know.
What about Throbbing Gristle, like the first annual report, second, third?
Yeah, you know, TG later on, like, you know, once I met Dillo and shit, met someone with a crazy record collection, that was when I started hearing all those sort of things.
Oh, he's a big influence on you that way. More than your brother?
Wait, I mean, my brother, you know, stopped at B-Part, right? That was pretty much it, where... Johnny and Dillo, I mean,
I think people might not realize that we're from the older days that getting turned on to new stuff by your buddies was really fucking important.
Yeah, it
dude,
was. Absolutely.
Fucking amen on that. Yeah. That is so, yeah, that's a good fucking
thing. Someone hands you a mixtape?
Yeah.
Or you mixtape to someone?
Yeah.
Here's something I was thinking about the other day that was kind of fucked up. I was like, everything I owned in the 90s, late 90s, I found at a thrift store or at, you know, used record store. Every fucking thing I owned, I found myself and sort of, you know what I mean? Or a buddy turned me on to it. It's different nowadays, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Where can people find you on the internet?
Check us out at wolfeyes.xyz.
And there's 24-hour radio, pictures, info. It's the one stop.
So wolfeyes.xyz?
Wolfeyes.xyz.com.
Oh, it's wolf, wolfeyes.xyz.com.
I don't even think you need the .com. I think it's just XYZ and you're there.
Okay. Or you can use a search engine, people. But,
yeah.
And you're saying it's 24-hour you got music and movies and pictures? Or
yeah, video? We've been trying to make an archive of the last, like, 20, 25 years, just photo.
And that's what this box set's about?
In a way, yeah. Like, it's all kind of been about that. Like, going back to what you asked before, what's up with this fan thing? And it's, like, kind of always been like that.
Sure, sure. And does the future look a little different?
Not too much. We got a couple cool things coming up. We're doing a residency at the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts, which I'm pretty stoked about. And
I saw the Kerouac scroll there. Thurston took me.
Did you?
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you, man.
That's cool. That's trust.
I trust you.
Trust me on this. You bring me the new Wolf Eyes. You can come back on the show and let's listen to it and talk about it, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
It was beautiful. Johnny, Nate, both of you, thank you so much for giving me
your
time. Absolute. Safe seas to you. And keep on keeping on.
All right.
Okay. July 23, 2021, and just watch Peter. So people, keep your powder dry.